Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
The fates seem to conspire sometimes. I know that's ridiculous coming from an old skeptic like me. But anyway, there was excitement a few days ago about the phenomena in the sky above Gauteng when a slow-moving meteor seemed to be breaking up and heading in the direction of Botswana, with fiery trails and all. Pursued by many cell phone cameras, hastily deployed, and many WhatsApps and calls exchanged. But wait, no, it wasn't a natural meteor, but the remains of the upper stage of the Chinese Yangjiang 1S rocket being deorbited. This ID thanks to the indefatigable Jonathan McDowell, an astrophysicist in his spare time, who runs the website at Planet4589, devoted to keeping tabs on this sort of thing. The scale of interactions between environment concerns and the space programs is huge, so it's worth considering a few of them. We all know, and many of us use, the weather forecasting sites like yr.no and Meteor Blue, or the South African Weather Service, which is also very good. Satellite pictures of cloud formations, hurricanes and cold fronts are old hat, but vital for a range of industries, from airlines to farmers and fishing fleets, wildfire fighters, emergency services, and many more. The economic value is huge, and where would we be without weather satellites and communication satellites, GPS, etc. and etc.? The huge combine harvesters and tractors of the USA's breadbasket, grain-producing states, are remotely controlled from space, a GPS application which greatly improves the efficiency of ploughing and harvesting. Just one of the many spin-offs that the space program promoters point to justify the enormous costs. Whether the economic benefits will ever balance out the costs is a matter for politics, I suppose, and that debate will continue onwards beyond the foreseeable. Another aspect of the cost argument that might soon be capturing the headlines is energy from space. Is it possible to get renewable energy from space? Free, of course. Electricity, I mean. The answer is a resounding yes, as far as the punters are concerned. The sun is pumping out all that energy every second, and we merely have to put up a mirror or a solar panel to catch some of it and direct it down to Earth. I like that word, merely. Not so simple in practice, of course, and there are a myriad problems to solve. Addressing a lot of those problems already is the Chinese space program Omega. They say it should be possible to provide as much as 2 gigawatts, that's huge, 2 gigawatts, by 2050 or even 2040. 2 gigawatts is equivalent to 6 million PVC panels. To harvest the solar energy is one thing, but to beam it down to Earth is an entirely new challenge. You can't run a cable or high-tension line down from orbit, or can you? That's already being addressed, and we noted it here on Being Green over a year ago. The New Zealand startup tech company Emerod are demonstrating their wireless power transmission system with frequencies in the ISM band, the Industrial Scientific and Medical band, commonly used in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Wireless power transmission will have to work on a big scale if space-based electricity renewables are ever to become a reality. You could say we've been a bit spaced out on Being Green. More Being Green with Glynis next week. And so to look at the more space-oriented topic of energy from space, I'll be joining space cadet Ketchel Kirkham later today on Looking Up, here on Fine Music Radio, after 5 this afternoon. I'm John Richards. Thanks for listening. Catch you later.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
If we condense the history of Earth into 24 hours, then we've been around for a few seconds. A short time to create havoc, yet long enough to know that we have the power to make a difference to our planet. It starts at home, from the moment we wake up and turn on our energy-saving light bulbs. Switch on to a sustainable world with Galinda Moser from RE/MAX Living, our passionate and proud sponsor of Being Green on Fine Music Radio.